Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. Today is April 5th, Easter, in the year 2021, and I hope you're all having a comfortable, calm Easter. My name's Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist. You can go to armchairsurvivalist.com, and you can see everything about me, well, pretty much. You scroll down to the bottom of any of those pages, and you're going to find out all the different ways to listen to me. I'm on every podcast venue there is. I'm on satellite. There's a phone number you can call in to listen to me. There's all kinds of ways to listen. I also have my show notes now. Everything I talk about, I have links to it so that you can't just listen to me and say, well, I wonder if he's telling the truth. Well, yeah, that's what my links are for, so you can find out. And I'm a one-man band here, so if I don't get them up on time, oh well. Let me get some information out of the way on my company, Survival Enterprises. You can go to SE1, Samuel Edwards, numeral 1, SE1.us or survivalenterprises.com. And you can see all the stuff that we sell. We have ham radios. They're very hard to come by. I sometimes have a dozen here. Sometimes I can have one. I have four left right now. I got a little shipment this week. The companies that manufacture these little ham radios, they're Baofeng or Tenwei or that kind of thing. They're out of China, and they're either not shipping, out of business, or, you know, it's blowing my mind how hard it is to get this kind of stuff. But people need a way to communicate when the Schumer hits the fan. So I do everything I can to find these radios for you guys. These are transceivers. You can communicate with them. You talk to people, they can talk to you. There's more to it than that, but you get a hold of me, we'll talk about it. And I also have shortwave radios. These are AM, FM, shortwave, NOAA weather band. And I can tell you right now, you really want to have a NOAA weather band. You want to listen to the weather, what they're saying, because otherwise you'll have a surprise, like we got last Sunday after the show. So after the show, I'm sitting upstairs watching TV and looking outside the front window, and the tree in the front is having an epileptic fit. It's flapping all over the place, and I said to myself, uh-oh. And then we hear an explosion, and I figured it's a transformer just blew out. So I get up and I look out front. I don't see nothing. I see the guy next door running like crazy into my backyard. So I go to the backyard, and where my grass is supposed to be is a 60-foot-long pine tree. Tree fell. Now, I'll tell you something, and the same thing I told the reporter when he came out. I don't have a guardian angel. I have a battalion. That tree fell. It took out two layers of power lines. It took out the internet. It took out the telephone. And it missed my house by an eighth of an inch. And when it came down, it brushed the side of my deck and just barely took off a little paint. I licked my thumb and wiped it off, you know? That it just barely missed me, and thank God it happened, because there were places all around Coeur d'Alene and Hayden and Post Falls where this wind had hit so hard, the whole houses are destroyed. Trees that had been up for 100 years fell over. This is scary. This was not just wind, and we were warned we were going to have 30-mile-an-hour winds, sustained gusting up to about 60. No, this is what they call hammer winds. Instead of the wind is kind of going, it was doing this. It was the most astounding thing I've ever seen. It literally was like somebody was controlling it. And because of that, all the trees in the area that were in the flight path, so to speak, of the wind, if they did not have a good root ball holding them into the ground, they went over. So we're Right after this show, I get to go out back and start chopping that tree up. Anyway. All right, so NOAA weather band is something that's very important to have. Like 7 different locations in the United States, and you will find one of these on this radio. So we have the ham radios, we have the shortwave radios. I have Mountain House food buckets in. These are the expedition buckets. There's 5 days of food. There's 30 meals, basically, in each bucket. And it's $150 delivered anywhere in the United States. If you come into the store, it's $125. So I'm just doing a blanket charge of $25 for shipping. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you thought shipping was bad before, wait till you see. We just got notified by both the post office and UPS. They're raising the rates again. This drives me batty when I have to redo the website, because now we're getting screwed more and more and more. I can't believe it. Some of my products cost more to ship than they do to buy them. That's why it's always smart when you make a larger order, not just order one item. Order, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever you want, you know. But it's smarter to save your money and don't spend as much on the shipping. It just drives me crazy. I'm sorry. It's one of my buttons. Now we're going into the health and food department. there is information coming up from all over the world that people who have got these so-called vaccinations are now getting sick. They're now coming down as infected. Now, 99% of them, they have to get a test to realize they're sick because there's no symptoms popping up. But that's because they're good little sheeple. They're going to go get their weekly test. We have people in Hawaii are fully vaccinated and now coming up COVID-19. Dozens in Florida, all over Florida. Washington State and Idaho State both have over 100 people that have been fully vaccinated that all of a sudden showed up positive for COVID-19. The Pakistani Prime Minister tested positive 2 days after getting his shot.
The nation's top doc, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said he is taking these cases very seriously. And as Lewis Bolden reports, the cases are popping up around the country, and there are many breakthrough cases right here in Central Florida.
The first thing somebody says to me is, you got the vaccine, how are you positive?
27-year-old Hannah Rewerts is a physical therapist and has been tested for COVID-19 at least once a week for work since the pandemic started. She says she got her first positive test just days ago.
I was shocked immediately. I'm like, this has to be a false positive. This can't be right.
But multiple tests confirmed it. She says she was shocked because she is also fully vaccinated. As a healthcare worker, she had her first dose of the Pfizer vaccine back in December and her second dose 3 weeks later in January. More than 2 months after the second shot, she says she contracted the virus.
It's very odd.
Rewerts is among a growing number of people. Earlier this month, the Minnesota Department of Health released a health advisory that, along with the CDC, it is investigating COVID-19 infections among people who are appropriately vaccinated, also called breakthrough cases. News 6 checked, and as of last week, the Florida Department of Health in Volusia County has 6 documented breakthrough cases. Sumter County has 6 breakthrough cases, and Lake County has 26 cases. Rewerts says 3 of her family members who were also fully vaccinated also contracted it.
One of my family members, actually went to the hospital. I mean, that's pretty severe enough to be concerned about the vaccine.
Rewerts says the health department is testing to see whether she may have been infected by one of the COVID-19 variants that have made it to Florida. She says for now, she and her family will continue social distancing and wearing masks.
I don't think the public is aware that it doesn't mean you're not getting the virus, and it doesn't mean you're not getting sick. There is still a chance.
Researchers are still trying to figure out whether people who are fully vaccinated and contract COVID-19 can also continue to spread it, which is why they still recommend that people continue wearing masks even after being vaccinated.
Well, the key here is, ladies and gentlemen, that number one, this is not a vaccination. Words mean things. Look up vaccination in the dictionary and you'll see what I'm talking about. This is not vaccination. This is rewriting the code of your body. And as a matter of fact, the chief medical officer of Moderna actually came right out and said that.
As I've trained as a physician scientist, we've been living this phenomenal digital and scientific revolution. And I'm here today to tell you that we're actually hacking the software of life, and that it's changing the way we think about prevention and treatment of disease. So here's all the biology you need to know in 30 seconds. Our body is made out of organs. Our organs are made out of cells. And in every cell, there's this thing called messenger RNA, or mRNA for short, that transmits the critical information from the DNA, our genes, to the protein, which is really the stuff we're all made out of. This is the critical information that determines what a cell will actually do. And so we think of it like an operating system. And it's not just in every cell of our body, it's actually in every cell of every organism alive. It's the same thing. And so if you could actually change that, which we call the software of life, if you could introduce a line of code or change a line of code, it turns out that has profound implications for everything from the flu to cancer. So many of us get a vaccine. What is a vaccine? It is an injection in our arm where we get bits and pieces of the virus, the proteins, and that teaches our immune system to recognize the virus, and so when we get infected, we're not sick. Now imagine if instead of giving the protein, we would give the instructions on how to make the protein, how the body can make its own vaccine. That's an mRNA vaccine, and here's what it looks like from the cell. So the traditional approach has protein floating around your cells. An mRNA vaccine approach has the cells themselves in your own body making the vaccine. That's how an mRNA vaccine works. And for the last several years, we've shown this actually works in a whole multitude of animal models. Earlier this year, we published the first actual study in people. and it actually works in people. We took a group of volunteers and injected them with a messenger RNA vaccine against a variant of flu, influenza. And all of these volunteers got the immune response we were hoping to see. The side effect profile was pretty benign, what you would see with any normal type vaccine. So we've proven the principle. This actually can work. It works in people. And now we're going to be developing a whole slew of vaccines against diseases for which we don't have one. If you think about what it is we're trying to do, we've taken information and our understanding of that information and how that information is transmitted in a cell. And we've taken our understanding of medicine and how to make drugs, and we're fusing the two. We think of it as information therapy.
These RNA modifications that people are having injected in their arms, let me tell you something. I've been picking up news all from all over the world of deaths. There have been over 20,000 deaths worldwide, most of them within the first few hours of getting the vaccination. But that's not the worst part. The worst part is in the United States, the Centers for Disease Control knows what's going on. There have been more vaccine-related deaths in 2021, in 3 months, than in the past 10 years. There's been over 1,700 known deaths. Now, there's a lot of people who have gotten the shot and then 2 or 3 weeks later died, and the doctors say, oh, it was a heart attack, or it was an athlete's foot, or some other thing. They refuse to tie the two together. Yet, in the past year, anybody died of a heart attack or even suicide, it's COVID-related. This is just utterly ridiculous. Miscarriages? I can't understand how somebody could be so irresponsibly, moronically stupid as to get a shot while they're pregnant. I don't understand. That is such... I don't know. I'm disgusted and insulted that a human would actually do this. Miscarriages are up 366%. And we had a doctor come into Idaho and made a little speech, very quick, very succinct, and it explained everything very clearly. And of course, it was put up on Facebook and YouTube, and well, magically, it got taken down immediately.
Dr. Ryan Cole, I run Cole Diagnostics. It's one of the largest independent laboratories in the state of Idaho. Started it 17 years ago. I'm a Mayo Clinic trained board certified pathologist, board certified in anatomic and clinical pathology. So yes, I have expertise in immunology and virology. I also have subspecialty expertise in skin pathology. So I do a lot of skin cancer diagnostics as well. I've seen about 350,000 patients in my career. We've done about 100,000 COVID tests in the past year, so it is right up my alley, and so I'm not just blowing smoke today. This is my area of expertise. So I want to be able to share with you today actual science. This is where we are right now. So does that look like a pandemic? It was. It's not anymore. We are in an endemic now. Statistically, the pandemic is over in Idaho. Statistically, once we're below a set percentage, we are not in a pandemic right now. Is the disease present? Sure it is. Is it widespread? No. You know, we're still doing maybe 500 to 600 patient tests a day. At most, we're seeing 2% per day right now. And so the numbers are going way down. Next slide, please. Yeah, we are past a pandemic stage. We're at an endemic stage. In most states, we are. Their numbers are still high in a few states, but we're getting past that point. And here's why. Coronaviruses are seasonal. They follow a 6 to 9 month life cycle, and no matter what we do, they're going to do what they do, and then they're going to fade. What happened to SARS? What happened to MERS? What did we do to stop them? Nothing. They did their thing. Average COVID-19 death age, 78.6. Average age of death in North America every year, 78.6. That's fascinating. What are our highest risk factors? Obesity, low vitamin D levels, advanced age. 90% of deaths in the state have been over 70 years of age. That's the at-risk population. We have stopped our society for something that's taking people that are already at that death risk age anyway. The virus is fragile. These are just little tidbits. It's fragile. It doesn't live outside. UV light fractionates it, kills it, blows it apart. Ventilation in the wind blows it away. It is insanity to wear a mask outside. It is absolute insanity. And that's science. That's science. There is not one study that has shown any super spreader event to have occurred outside. They have all been indoors with poor ventilation. Biggest lost message on this entire pandemic is vitamin D. There is no such thing. And if I can give one message to all of you for every winter and autumn for the rest of your lives, there is no such thing as flu and cold season. There is only low vitamin D season. Vitamin D, every cell in your body, every nucleus has a receptor for vitamin D on it. 2,000 genes in your body are controlled by vitamin D. 5% of your body's genome controlled by vitamin D. It is the master key to your immune system, the master key. If one has a level in mid-range, you cannot develop a cytokine storm. Data shows what kills people? Cytokine storm. If you are in mid-level range, you will not die from COVID because you cannot get a cytokine storm. So we don't just have a viral pandemic. We have an international vitamin D deficiency pandemic, i.e. 70% of the world is immune suppressed. 70%. 70 to 80% of all Americans are immune suppressed because they are D deficient. 82 to 88% of nursing home patients are D deficient. Who's dying at the highest rate? Nursing home patients. 83% of African Americans, 70% of Latinos, 72% of Native Americans, 47% of Caucasians are insufficient, and 70% are deficient. 47% are deficient, 70% of Caucasians are insufficient. 80% of all hospitalized patients statistically are vitamin D deficient. 96% of people in the ICU are vitamin D deficient. If you are D deficient, you are immune suppressed, you are susceptible to the common cold, the flu, coronavirus of any sort, bacterial pneumonia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The best mask of all is a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system does not occur if you don't have D in normal range. Well, how do we get D? Sunshine. You know, we synthesize it through our skin. Above the 35th parallel in the world or below the 35th parallel for 4 to 5 months of the year, you cannot synthesize vitamin D through your skin. The older you get, the harder it becomes as well. Vitamin D is critical. Every Idahoan, if you do not supplement, you are vitamin D deficient. You are immune suppressed in the fall and the winter. You can run outside naked thinking you're getting sunshine from October through March, and the amount of vitamin D you will synthesize from October through March outdoors running naked in your tutu is zero. Absolutely zero. If you do not supplement with vitamin D in the wintertime, you are immune suppressed. Most insurance companies in Idaho and northern states do not pay for a vitamin D test, unfortunately. Other countries, Scandinavian, test their citizens twice a year. They supplement 35 foods on their food shelves with vitamin D. Why is Finland, Norway, Sweden doing so well? They take care of the public health of their individuals. They know that this is public health message number one for their immune health, so they do something about it. 80% of Americans also are magnesium deficient. Our soils are depleted. Vitamin D and magnesium play a fine dance. You need them both to work together in order to have a functional immune system. We're also zinc deficient, 70 to 80% of us in this room. Diet, 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 diet. What you eat matters. It affects your immune health. Obesity drastically reduces your ability to get vitamin D into your circulation. D is a fat-soluble vitamin. The heavier set you are, the more it goes into your fat and not into your circulation to stimulate your immune system. Normal D levels also decrease colon cancer, breast cancer, thyroid cancer rates, depression rates, suicide rates. 8 out of the 10 highest suicide states are northern-tiered states. Go figure. Because vitamin D, it's not a vitamin, it's a pro-hormone. And again, it affects thousands of genes in your body. You get a D level up to normal, you decrease risk for all of these things, not just COVID. All right, most physicians, unfortunately, don't know how critical this is. This should be public health message from the pulpits of Washington, the pulpits of every state. We're pulling our hair, henny-penny, the sky is falling, oh no, oh no. What really matters is, look, if you have a healthy immune system, you have a healthy population. And we are not emphasizing that. It's, oh gosh, mask, distance, there's nothing we can do, et cetera. There is something we can do. Give the right message. And the right message is you can take control of your immune health. You can do something about it. What goes into your body does matter. Public health officials have ignored this critical message. Normal D levels decrease your COVID symptom severity or risk for hospitalization by 90%. That's the world data now. There have been a lot of placebo-controlled trials that show this all around the world. It is scientific fact, not just a correlation like a lot of doctors will say, oh gosh, that's that vitamin stuff. I'm like, no, it's an essential part of the human body. It is an essential pro-hormone that your body naturally makes in the sunshine from spring through summer. Only a couple hours a day. We can get into that later if there's questions, because there's only about a 3-hour window a day. Without your sunscreen, don't tell the dermatologist that I serve, you need to be outside for 20 to 30 minutes during the spring and summer to get natural vitamin D. In the fall and the winter, you need to supplement to boost your immune system. The darker your skin, the further north you live, the harder it is to synthesize vitamin D. That's why the hospitalization and the death rates in the darker skinned populations, it is not social disparity. It is plain and simple biology. Darker your skin, the further north you live, the lower your vitamin D level, the higher your risk for COVID and all other illnesses. You know, I understand there are some social disparities in our society, and you know, we can't fix that right away, but I hope we're working on it. But the biology of the disease is the darker you live, further from the equator, the less vitamin D you synthesized, the more immune suppressed you are. The RDA, the recommended daily allowance, that was after World War II to sustain basic life. The amount that they give there is like a drop of water in the ocean that they recommend. It is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. There's a cool app, it's called D-Minder, and it shows you when you can synthesize your vitamin D. So our esteemed Dr. Fauci said in an interview in November, well, gosh, I take 8 to 9,000 units of vitamin D a day in the winter. Yet, inexplicably, that's not a public health message. In a little, you know, side interview, I'm like, well, gosh, you know it. You know it affects your immune health. You work for the government and have been in there for 40 years. Make that a message to everybody, please. So what should public health message number 1, 2, and 3 be? Vitamin D. Number 4, decrease societal obesity. Cut out the sugar, cut out the processed foods, cut out the carbohydrates. Those are all inflammatory. The more inflamed you are going into an illness, the worse you will do. Obesity is a predisposed inflammatory state. If you are obese, you are inflamed. I don't say that to offend anybody, but I lost 45 pounds 8 years ago. I've kept it off. Ask me later about that. It contributes to countless diseases, you know. Is there a treatment for outpatient COVID? Unfortunately, the three-letter federal government agencies have practiced therapeutic nihilism, apathy, complete apathy. No, gosh, if you get sick, go home. If your lips turn blue, then go to the hospital. If you can't breathe, go to the hospital. When in the history of medicine have we said to someone, well, gosh, you have pneumonia, but once you're sick enough to be hospitalized and in the ICU, we'll give you an antibiotic for your pneumonia. Insanity. We as physicians have collectively lost our medical minds. Just saying, well, gosh, yeah, you have an illness that we know is killing people around the world. Why don't you just go home and see how you do? The earlier you treat, the more complications you can decrease down the road. And you know what? There's a treatment. Unfortunately, if there's a treatment for a disease, the federal government cannot approve a vaccine by law. So the NIH, who, you know, is involved in approving medications, they co-hold the patent on the, quote, vaccine with Moderna. If the fox is not guarding the hen house there, I don't know who is. That also is insanity, to have the government in bed with a private company vending a product that they want to give to everybody. And so when they look at the potential, quote, therapeutics, hydroxychloroquine, I'm not going to talk about because pretty controversial. I have my opinions. I took it for 10 months. I swabbed thousands of sick people. I never got COVID. There's a better medication. I'm going to discuss that next. Conflict of interest, federal government in bed with a vaccine company. Absolute conflict. They don't want a therapy to work because then they can vend their vaccine. However, they've tried remdesivir. 6 months ago, the World Health Organization said, stop using remdesivir. It does not add survival rate to anybody. $3,000 a pop. What are our hospitals still doing? Giving remdesivir. When does remdesivir work? The first 2 to 3 days of disease when the virus is replicating. By the time you're hospitalized, you are in a hyperimmune phase of a disease. Your immune system is what the hospitalists are trying to tune down. Remdesivir, again, it's like peeing on a forest fire. It does nothing at that point because the virus is already maximally replicated. Remdesivir, expensive, of benefit to the pharmaceutical companies in their back pocket, of no benefit to your health. Convalescent plasma, when does it work? The first 2 to 3 days of disease when the virus is replicating. Do people get that outpatient? No, they don't. They only get it in the hospital when it's not effective. Monoclonal antibodies, when do those work? The first couple days of disease, when the virus is replicating. By the time you're in hospital, when the virus has reached maximal replication, does it work? No, it doesn't. Do steroids work? To a degree, they do. Once you're at an inflammatory stage in the hospital, yes. Enter an effective prevention and treatment, ivermectin. So a lot of you may, you know, we're in farm country, horse country. You know, you give it to your dogs, your cats, your horses. It's an antiparasitic, but it's a molecule. It doesn't read the textbook and say, I can only kill parasites. It's a molecule. And fascinatingly, it works against viruses too, not just SARS coronavirus, but a bunch of other viruses as well. So in August of last year, we found out that it killed coronavirus 99.9% in Petri dish studies. The NIH, what did they do? For reasons I already explained, they recommended against it. And they did it on monkey cells instead of human lung cells. They're like, oh, the dose would have to be too high. They fudged the data. Unfortunately, it works. It works. So what did the rest of the world do while we said, everybody go home and let your lips turn blue and come to the hospital? The rest of the world said, well, let's try it. So what did the rest of the world do? A lot of trials. 4 billion people on the planet have taken this medication since the 1980s. This medication won the Nobel Prize for the discoverer. It is that safe. It is on the world's safest and most essential drugs list. 4 billion people have taken it, with only 1 or 2 deaths out of 4 billion, and those people had a genetic disorder. Super, super, super safe. We've given it to people at 30 to 40 times recommended dose. No adverse effect. In the world studies, and again, therapeutic nihilism here. We're finally just starting to do some studies. Some brave doctors in Texas, in Florida, in Wisconsin have been using it in their hospitals. They have decreased their death rates by 70 to 90% in their hospitals. 70 to 90 in Houston, one hospital was using it. Now all the hospitals in Houston are using it because they saw what the one brave doctor was doing. It is an approved medication. It is safe. Is it off-label? Yes. Is the FDA approving it yet? No, because the smart doctors around the world, they're like, oh, they're not smart enough. Only American doctors are smart. We have to do the trials here. Meanwhile, Pfizer got their approval from studies overseas, not done here. So it's absolutely hypocritical of our three-letter agencies to be approving certain things that were done overseas and then not approving things that were done overseas. Placebo-controlled trials, there are 15,000 patients in meta-analysis. It has decreased the death rate, no matter what your therapy is. Ivermectin, if that's added to the mix, it decreases the death rate by 75%, if given early by 86%. What does that mean? Of the 500,000 deaths we have in North America, we would have 375,000 less deaths. There is blood on the hands of bureaucrats in Washington who have suppressed this life-saving medication. How much does it cost? 2 cents. In India, an entire province, 200 million people, COVID's gone. They put little blister packs together for 2 cents, gave it out to their entire population. They're at their grocery stores, they're at their theaters, they're walking around, they're living normal life. Wherever it has been given in the world, they're back to normal life. In the U.S., it's compounded for about $2 to $5 per dose. You can get a full course of treatment for under $30 and decrease the death rate by 75 to 86%. So finally, some of the data from the world was presented in the NIH hemmed and hawed. They only looked at 11 studies instead of the tens and tens and tens and tens of other studies. And they're like, oh, there's one that shows maybe no benefit. 100% of the world trials have shown benefit. Decreases acquisition. Prophylactically, I've been on it for 2 months now. In Argentina, in a hospital trial, prevented 100% of acquisition in healthcare workers. 800 doctors and nurses were given it during their big outbreak. Of the 800, zero got COVID. Placebo group, 57% got COVID that were not on ivermectin. Scandinavian studies prevented acquisition by 88%. Multiple mechanisms of action of this molecule. Don't have time, long medical lecture, but it's fun to know. The beauty of it, it can cover all the variants because of its mechanisms. All the variants. Unlike, oh, we're going to have to give you a new formulation of this vaccine or that vaccine or that vaccine. No, the mechanisms of action of this molecule against this virus don't stop. There's a great website, flccc.net. These are the doctors that are frontline pushing this forward. They're the ones that got the NIH to finally listen, to finally take a neutral stance, to unshackle the hands of physicians that can prescribe it. I can say that I've saved 42 lives in the last 2 months. I don't prescribe very often, generally I'm behind the microscope or in the lab, but from one case to another and nobody doing anything. Elderly, obese, 83-year-old, 72-year-old, asthmatic, diabetic. To a T, every person that's had COVID I've treated with this has been better in 12 to 48 hours. 12 to 48 hours, to a T, 42 people. That's a small case series of patients. I know it works. Vaccines. Okay, I'm going to be a little controversial here and may frustrate a few people. By definition, a vaccine historically is giving a protein or an antigen or a part of a pathogen and or a whole killed pathogen. Injecting a sequence of mRNA into a human being is a medical device. What we're doing right now does not fall under the definition of a vaccine. They shifted the verbiage in some of the Federal Register back in October so they could approve this. So it was a sleight of hand to change the verbiage. What we have right now is an experimental biological gene therapy immune modulatory injection. We are injecting people with a synthetic sequence of nucleic acid. We have never done this on a large scale in human history. mRNA trials in mammals have led to odd cancers. mRNA trials on mammals have led to autoimmune diseases, not right away, 6, 9, 12 months later. What we're doing right now are not approved vaccines, and so everybody, how do you create demand? You create scarcity. Oh gosh, we can't get a shot, we can't get a shot. Well, it's a beautiful marketing ploy to be able to say, gosh, there's a low supply, so everybody wants it now. Well, everybody may want it, but the long-term safety data is not there. 50% of healthcare providers are absolutely not getting this injection, and that's a reason. We don't trust the data. The fox guarded the hen house. The companies did their own data. There were no independent observer groups looking at the data. You know, do the shots decrease severity of disease and hospitalization? Well, they seem to be, but they don't fall under the definition of creating pure immunity and preventing transmission. If you're immune after an injection, why in the world would you still have to mask and social distance? That is an admission that they don't know that it's a vaccine. And that's an absurdity. There's no long-term proven safety. My biggest concern is antibody-dependent enhancement reaction. You get a shot, you're fine. Look, it's preventing this, preventing that. If you get a coronavirus shot, historically, SARS, MERS, animal coronaviruses, you get a shot. When you're exposed to a wild-type variant of the virus, 6, 9, 12 months later, the immune system can go haywire. In the SARS vaccine trials, in the ferrets, in the monkeys, 100% of the animals, when exposed to wild-type virus, ended up with immune reaction. So the vaccines are an experiment on society. Here's my comment on masks. Two states, one with masks, the esteemed Governor Nome. Masks, business restrictions, no masks, no business restrictions. There's your curve of coronavirus. You can draw your own conclusion as to whether masks do anything. I can tell you they do not. Conclusions, lots of conclusions here. Public health message number one, prohormone / vitamin D, critical to every Idahoan's immune health. That should be public message number one every fall and winter for every year for the next 100 years. Two, there is an outpatient early effective prevention and treatment for COVID, ivermectin. Number three, your body, your choice. In my opinion, the vaccine is unproven and long-term safety is not there. We are at an endemic now. We are not in a pandemic. That's my two cents on coronaviruses. I know I'm out of time, and I can take two or three questions now, and afterwards, I'll defer. I'm happy afterwards to hang out, answer any questions you have when the meeting's over.
Is ivermectin effective against other viruses?
Yes, it is. It's effective against dengue virus to a degree, partially effective against Ebola virus. It's effective against all coronaviruses. It's effective against certain mechanisms of certain viral families. Yes, it is. West Nile included, which hits Idaho.
I've heard that the mRNA produces adverse effects on placenta in terms of pregnant females, in terms of women who may suffer some adverse effect, who plan on getting pregnant in the future.
Again, long-term safety data isn't out. There are some studies that do indicate this type of virus, especially after you've given the shot and the mRNA is there, that the spike protein, it's called a syncytial cell, and the placenta is a conglomeration of a bunch of cells conglomed together, and it can stick to the surfaces of those type of cells. It can cause an immune reaction and can cause an autoimmune attack. I have a friend whose wife, 7 months pregnant, got the shot, 7 months pregnant, she just miscarried yesterday, right after the injection. Absolutely. So the question is, what's a cytokine storm? So our immune system, we have a lot of white blood cells, certain ones, you know, it's a little army fighting off things and a signal to this soldier, that soldier, this soldier, that soldier. So one cell sends out this type of cytokine and recruits another white blood cell. So you have your inflammatory cytokines that ramp up your immune response, and then you have your calming cytokines that calm it down. If you have low vitamin D, all those signals keep going, bring more, bring more, bring more, bring more, death. If you have adequate vitamin D levels, all those genes turn on and off and say, ramp up, fight, fight, fight. Hey, that's enough. You tune down, you turn down, you tune down. So cytokines are just signals from one soldier to another in the battle against a disease. You want a cytokine response to a set degree, but then you want it to go down. How can your body naturally do that? Get your vitamin D level normal. All the genes talk to each other. Improves immune health. Immune health, the best mask of all. Lipid nanoparticle is the question. The lipid nanoparticles in these shots, 70% of us are allergic to polyethylene glycol. That is antifreeze. Polyethylene glycol 2000 is one thing they're putting to keep it from freezing. That can absolutely cause anaphylactic reaction in a lot of people. I know a handful of brave physicians that are prescribing it. A lot of physicians are very guideline-driven and very, what's the protocol, what's the guideline, what's the word from Washington? Instead of, I have a black bag, I have a medical degree and a license to practice, and I have a thinking brain, and one out of five medicines in America is written off-label for another disease. It's approved. These are approved medicines. You're just using it for a different condition. The short answer is, if you can't get it from a local doctor, there are online physicians all around the country that will prescribe it. MyFreeDoctor.com, et cetera, et cetera. There are a bunch of online sites. I know some brave individuals that are saving lives. It's frustrating to try to get the data to my colleagues and say, guys, we don't need the degree of death we're seeing. This is a preventable disease. You can prophylax. You can treat. And not only that, down the road, if you have long-term symptoms, ivermectin can tune those down as well. It is a phenomenal medication. And it's an immune modulator, not just a viral killer.
When people come into my store at Survival Enterprises on Government Avenue in Hayden, and we talk about some health product or something, I try to impress on them, they need to understand. I tell them, I said, you need to understand, doctors are not here to cure anything. They're here to prolong it. That's how they make their money, and anybody who thinks differently is really stupid. Doctors do not cure things. They prolong them. So everything they do for you is to prolong a problem so that they are assured of an income, and their ancestors will down the road will be assured of an income as well. And now I'm looking at this article about the CDC, where they have decided that we're not getting enough fluoride in our water, and it must be because it's too hard to get fluoride. So they created a new water fluoridation technology to support rural health needs, quote unquote. See, usually when people put fluoride, which is rat poison, in the water, they have these big 50 to 100-pound bags that they just dump in the water system. Well, that's getting difficult. So now they come up with these pills. These pills people can take and dump in their water, in their well, in their cisterns, and people will get all the fluoride they're going to need. Now, you know, all of this stuff I'm going to have, armchairsurvivalist.com. Go to show notes page. You'll figure it out from there. When I saw this, I'm thinking to myself, yes, they finally realized that Americans are stupid enough to continue their personal destruction, because that's exactly where we're going with this. We're allowing it to happen, and we're willing for it to happen because we help them. The government comes up to you and says, hello, Mr. Wilson, I'm here to slit your throat. Give me your knife, please. And these idiots will hand over their knife while the agent slits their throat. And then they wonder why they died. Now we're going into the food section. When Dimwit got put in Shady Acres in Washington, D.C., the very first thing that his handlers told him to tell everyone was that he's going to rescind every one of the regulations that Trump created. Well, Trump didn't create a lot of regulations. He canceled a lot of regulations. So now what Dimwit and the rest of the communists in D.C. are doing are putting these regulations back into effect. And one of them, the biggest one that I can see right now, is something to do with the meat industry. They want to cripple the production of meat, pork, beef, chicken, turkey, fish. They want to cripple it. So they're going to be doing everything they can in the next few months to create an industry that is barely functioning. I look around, and a lot of these things I'm saying, I'm looking at what I'm saying, and I'm saying to myself, that's freaking crazy. Who in their right mind would believe that this crap is going to happen? Well, the Ice Age farmer sure does.
Ladies and gentlemen, the war on meat is a successful one, it turns out. This week, the USDA released new numbers that indicate the frozen meat stocks of both pork and chicken have plummeted year over year. Take a look at these graphs. The outlier there at the bottom left corner is the frozen pork storage. Now, it's important to understand about frozen meats that they are the buffer between actual production in real time and the shelves in stores. So what happened last year when meat plants shut down during the pandemic is we literally ate into that buffer. We took frozen meat out of storage. That's what happened with the red line there. 2020 drops hundreds of millions of pounds. We kept the shelves full by virtue of the fact that we had these frozen meat stocks. So that's what the meat shortage turned into, was we dug into our savings account here, right? Only now we are at precipitously low levels. You can see 2021 is way below where we'd like to be in terms of frozen meat. And the same is true here on the chart of frozen chicken stocks. Hundreds of millions of pounds below a comfortable level where we typically are and what we have capacity for. These things are not going to magically recover and return to normal levels. This isn't just a blip on the radar due to the pandemic. In fact, it's going to get worse. Here from Reuters yesterday, hog futures are rising due to expectations of tightening U.S. supplies. Chicago, lean hog futures jumped to life of contract highs due to tightening U.S. hog and pork supplies, according to analysts. In the report, the U.S. swine herd was only 73.5 million pigs, down from 76 million last year. Analysts were actually expecting more than that this year, but somehow they're just gone. They're not there. The pigs are not there. Quote, it's going to be an environment where the pork supplies are quite a bit smaller than expected. expected. The same thing is true, the same trend is there in beef, where cattle placements were down precipitously year over year. 23% of the cows that were supposed to be going to the feedlot to grow and then be served as meat aren't there. So the meat supply is contracting. The pipelines themselves are shrinking, and we're already digging into the buffer, those frozen meat supplies. This is by design, because we know how badly these people want to end meat, want to take away your healthy fats and good protein. They want you eating, as Bill Gates said, we should all be eating synthetic lab-grown meat from the guy who's funding synthetic lab-grown meat. Here's a University of Oxford professor who says maybe we should start dyeing meat blue to make people aware that it's not the most sustainable and healthy. How can you lie like that? They're just outright lying. Dietary choices. We'd like to nudge consumers, their word for social engineering, pushing people away towards the choices that they want people to make. We know this is the agenda because they're quite open about it, from the New York Times talking about the end of meat being needed because you should care about racial justice and climate change. And obviously meat is racist and bad for the environment. The Rockefeller Foundation also talks about the need for a racially transformed, in fact now it's with the Biden administration, it's a USDA priority. They have a head of racial sustainability within the food system. But it's mostly this net zero drive, as quite beautifully actually illustrated in this report, Absolute Zero, from a UK firm who put forward this timeline leading up to 2050, taking a couple examples like food, where we see up to 2030, we're going to reduce national consumption of beef and lamb by half. Beef, we're going to stop eating it halfway by 2030 and then phased out completely by 2050. Beef and lamb phased out along with all imports not transported by train. So that's part of why they're jamming giant ships into the Suez Canal, because they have to stop shipping too. That's dirty and dangerous. It's got carbon emissions and we're driving to absolute zero. Turn off the shipping. Stop it all. But back to food. They're also just buying farmers out, but this is an extremely dangerous precedent here, because it's not that they're just buying the farm. Take a look. Here's a piece from the Netherlands. This is the Dutch headline. Here it is translated. This is how it works when the state wants to buy out farmers. Hey, you can make 700,000 euros. Sounds great. What a great exit strategy. But I want you to pay very, very close attention to what's happening here. Because the state is coming in and buying out these farms, but they're not buying the farms. What they're doing is giving euros to farmers and saying, we now own your pig rights. Pig farmers receive a market-based payment for pig rights. This can be 52 euros per pig or 151, depending on where you live. Selling a pig right is different from selling your pigs. You sell the right to keep pigs ever. One day again, you are giving up your ability to ever raise pigs legally again. It really is the intention that the farm will be given a different purpose after this. Pig farmers are therefore obliged to demolish your stables. You're getting paid 700,000 euros to demolish your stables and promise the government that you will never raise pigs again. And if you do, that's illegal. You sold your pig rights. Wait a minute, what the hell is a pig right? Pig right. There is no such thing. We all have the right to feed our families using whatever methods and raising whatever animals we want. That's the way it is on this planet. No, not anymore. Now there's pig rights. Now the government has put a nice price tag on them. And if you come along in a few years and you want to start raising pigs, well, suddenly you don't have pig rights. I mean, do you see how dangerous this is? This is literally the criminalizing of animal agriculture. It's happening. This is happening now. I don't think people understand how quickly this is happening. But of course, that's the goal, right? It's to ram this all down our throats, literally, before anyone even realizes what's going on. That's why in their UN World Food System Summit, the chair said 20 through 2030 will be the decade of action, and we all may experience some vertigo due to how rapidly things are changing. Because they know this is all going to happen, the decade of action, and people are going to be caught off guard. And my goal in this message right now is to make sure you are not caught off guard, and that you can take this message to other people so that collectively we can get off our asses and not allow this to happen. You will not take animals away from people. This is part of who we are. This is part of what humanity is cultivation and living with animals on a homestead, raising. I mean, it's unthinkable, but it's the total technocratic takeover of food, and it's part of this great reset, this communist superstate that is erecting itself before us right now. And you can see the same thing is happening around the world. I've already shared this study from the University of Sheffield that said, hey, sheep farmers could make more money if they just stopped farming sheep. We'll give them some money for carbon offsets. virus. Okay, it takes different forms in different parts of the world. Here, I've already talked about Biden, the 30-30 plan. It's everywhere. And the pig rights is a particularly pernicious form of it that I wanted to highlight today, because you're selling your right to ever again raise pigs. But implicitly, what that means is that everyone else and everyone who ever comes in the future somehow never had pig rights. You didn't get grandfathered in. So these payments are just the cost to the state of somehow transitioning all of us into a new world, the new normal, where you didn't have pig rights. You didn't buy the right to have pigs. And so, no, you don't get to raise animals. Sorry. All the multinational companies are already way ahead of you, right? They're already getting their fake meat out. Beyond Meat just got permission to take their products into Walmart stores. This is March 10th, 2021. So now Walmart wants Beyond Meat fake meat. Of course they do, because they have a net zero. It's the same thing we heard right here. It's the absolute zero for net zero emissions. Anything that's natural has carbon emissions. And so if it's a real farm or traditional ranching, it's not going to be at Walmart anymore. So of course they're adding fake meat. It's told the same thing to JBS, one of the biggest meat company in the world. So of course JBS said, we're also going to net zero. And how are they going to do that? How are they going to take their huge beef processing facilities and their fleet of semi-trucks down to net zero? No, they're not. They're going to get away with it. They're going to do away with it. And they're going to start, they have started investing in plant-based foods and fake meat as well. Everybody is transitioning away from dirty and bad for the environment and racist meat. That's where we are now. Especially this guy, Pat Brown, funded by Bill Gates, wears it right there on his shirt. No cows. Because that's the goal. We saw it stated net zero. We're phasing out beef by 2030. Getting rid of it by 2050 completely. Bill Gates tells you. He's the one putting the money into Pat Brown with his no cow shirt. And he tells you should be eating fake meat exclusively. They're all over this. They're all over this. And the Biden administration, obviously, is all over it too. It's just a matter of time. Today, they added a tax. They're talking about a tax, rather, for vehicle VMT, vehicle miles traveled. So if you drive however many miles, you're going to pay taxes on each mile. So it's just a matter of time. And they've already started the lip service talking about special taxes on livestock because of cow farts. This is happening rapidly. Please spread the word, ladies and gentlemen, about what's going on. The data is prolific at this point. We're not speculating. We're not reading into the Club of Rome and saying, if we're not careful, this is going to, it's happening now.
And he's right. It is happening now. I'm watching it. You're watching it. You know, it's hard to see it though, because you look at the food ads and you don't see the massive expense that's, and cost of food that's, actually happening. This time last year, now you know, I don't know if you know, you might remember me saying this, but I sometimes save food ads from one year to the next. This time last year, I could buy a pound of bacon for $1.99 on sale. It is now $2.99 on sale. You see, I used to be able to get tomatoes, 49 cents a pound on sale. Now they're 98 cents a pound. So that's double. This is small, right? We're talking 50 cents to dollar here and there. But when you add this up, the food prices from last year have gone up 50 to 100%. And this is what Christian was talking about, was that our buffer zone was the frozen meat department, was frozen meats, so that we could pull them out. You know, it's like when I was a kid, we would can all kinds of stuff during the summer months and salt pork and salt beef and hang it in the pickle cellar downstairs. Why? Because when the winter months come, well, there's no harvest. We ain't going to be able to go out hunting. So that's what they do. And this is done on a large scale. It's very well known. I was in the seafood business for about 6 years, and we rented storage in these giant storage areas. They're like 100 degrees below zero. I mean, everything's frozen solid in there. And we would rent space for a year at a time. And we would store in special containers that were hermetically sealed and vacuum packed. We would store shrimp and scallops and crabs and lobsters just in case. And we had to balance this, like when the summer months came and we weren't so worried about the supply being restricted or disappearing. we could slowly pull some of it out of storage and use it. Well, you can't do that anymore, and people aren't doing that. Stores aren't doing that. Now stores do this just in time. They order just in time. And that's why you go to a store and you say, well, where's your Tabasco? There's none on the shelf. Oh, it should be here next week. We used our allotment for the last month. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's slow. That's the problem. How do you cook a frog? You don't put him in boiling water. You put him in cold water in a pot. And then you slowly turn the heat up. And that's what's happening in the United States. It's actually happening a lot faster worldwide. But in the United States, it's happening very, very slow. And people aren't really recognizing it because it's done piecemeal. And then the government helps to camouflage what's happening to you by giving you free money. Where's my $1,400? Where's my $600? You know, where's this? Where's that? And now the Democrats are coming out and they're saying, why don't we do it on a monthly basis? You know, that's a great idea. Let's give everybody in the United States $1,000 a month on top of everything else. Never mind if they got a job. Never mind what's going on. We'll give them $1,000 a month each. There's not too many of you out there who say, no, I'm sorry, I don't want that. It's a hell of a boost in the arm for the economy, I can tell you that. You know, the thing about doing a radio show or any news, like a newspaper or magazine or what have you, or a blog even, there's a lot of stuff that happens. There's a lot of stuff that happens during the week. My job is to figure out what stuff is newsworthy. What stuff is it that you need to know about because it could affect you? You got to piece this stuff out and throw away nine-tenths of it and then bring out the one thing that's important. And I don't know how important this is, but we're under the liberal psychosis now. I don't know how important this is, but we are under attack. When I say we, I'm talking about sane Americans are under attack. And we will be. There's no question about that. But it's going to increase and get worse and worse and worse because the leashes are off of the communists now in the United States. And they get to do anything they want. They can say anything they want. And they're going to get away with it. We know that CNN, the Communist News Network, is doing everything in their power to degrade and depower the United States of America and the citizens in it, at least the white citizens in it. Everybody else is worthy. The whites aren't. That's the only thing. But see, this surprised me, and I didn't think even the liberals were this stupid. CNN came out. There was a report on the transvestite sport bans. Okay, this is the stupidest thing that I've ever heard, and it's funny as hell, unless it's happening to you or your kid, where some male says, I'm a female now, so decides to join a female sports club and then participate as a female. I mean, it's insane. So there are some states that are actually having to come out and say there's a ban on this. You may not have a transvestite. A transvestite is a male that wants to pretend he's female. So they use the word trans. No, it's a transvestite. It's a sexual psychosis. CNN came out, and in their argument against these bans, they said it is not possible to know a person's gender identity at birth. There is no consensus criteria for assigning sex at birth. What kind of frickin' idiot would say something as stupid as that? Any child knows how to tell what the sex is. You know, a dog has puppies. Well, I wonder if it's a boy or a girl. You pick it up and look. And if it's got a do-whacker, that's a boy. If it's tucked in, that's a girl. I mean, for crying out loud, any idiot knows this. CNN are not just any idiot. They're the ones that the rest of the idiots listen to. All right, now we're going into the government threat. The government threat is not a lightweight thing. And it's very hard for me to figure out what should go into it. Or the other categories. Yeah, it is. It's very difficult for that. Do you recall where these guys were arrested under the domestic terrorists and claimed to have a plot to kidnap the Michigan communist governor? You remember that? Oh, yeah. These are white militia members, and they're going to kidnap the governor of Michigan because they don't like her. Well, turns out that one of the three guys was an FBI agent who had pushed the whole thing. The other two guys didn't want any part of it. This third guy, the FBI agent, was pushing the whole thing, and he offered to finance it and hire anybody that was necessary and get them all the guns they want and blah, blah, blah. As soon as the judge found out about it, thrown out of court. This is standard operating procedure. And no matter how many times somebody tells everybody this, the FBI sets people up. Not sometimes, always. And then the media makes a big thing about it. But then media never comes back and rescinds what they said when it's found out it was all fake. They never do that. So the Department of Defense has decided that there is so many people out here that are dangerous to the safety of the United States. So they came out with extremism and insider threat. I'll have a copy of this on my website. You can read this thing, but what it infers, and you can read this yourself, is that people who are white are dangerous. They'll classify us as patriot extremism, anarchists, ethnic, racial supremacy. They're all talking about white people here. They're not talking about the racist blacks. They're not talking about any of this stuff. This is major. This goes to every law enforcement agency in the United States. It goes to all of the military. Freedom of information request came out. Now, you know, if you're going to go buy a gun and you go into a dealer, you have to fill out the 4473 form, and then they make a phone call to the FBI, and the FBI says yes or no. And if they say no, 100% of the time, it should be because you're a criminal, you have a criminal background, you're under indictment for something, you know, big things, right? Except not what the FBI has been doing. The Freedom of Information request shows that the FBI has been putting non-prohibited people in there. When I had my gun shop in Modesto, now I was very political at the time. I did a lot of political radio. I did a lot of interviews. And I had a reporter come into my store. And we got to talking, him and I. And this is when they first started doing what's called the NICS check. It's a national background check. And he said, yeah, well, they only have people on that list that have committed crimes. I said, really? So I said, let me ask you a question. Look around my store here. How many rifles do I have sitting out here where you can buy? He said, there's about 50. How many handguns do you see? About 50. How many cases of ammo? About 500. I said, okay, watch this. So I called that background check phone number, and I gave them my data as if I was buying a gun. And they refused me. They said, denied. And I said, thank you, and hung up. I didn't tell them who I was. I just told them I was calling from the gun shop. And they denied me. Because I had been, and I found this out later, I'd been put on there by the Attorney General in the state of California. He had a vendetta against me. Because I had made waves. Let's put it that way. Well, so the reporter he was in shock. I said, yeah, I have the license right here to sell firearms from federal government. I got a license right here from the state of California to sell firearms. Yet the FBI just told me I can't buy a gun. And I spend $100,000 a month on firearms. So this is what, and I tried to get him to post something about that, and he refused to. Well, this proves this is what the FBI does. Oh, and here's a little aside for the future. And this came out on Hal Turner's website. Now, a lot of you don't like Hal Turner. I don't care. I've known him for years. I used to advertise on his radio show. He got a video of a bunch of people getting pre-positioned to look like a whole bunch of dead bodies just wrapped up in plastic bags. And during this video, and it's a very short video, it's 11 seconds, you see a couple people wrapping people up and duct taping their feet. And you see this one guy waiting to be finished, wrapped up, and he's smoking a cigarette. So this could be a video of one of those new mutations that are coming. Okay? But this guy, I mean, this is hinky as hell. This guy's laying in his bag, waiting to have his head covered up, and he's smoking a cigarette. And now we go into the dimwit category.
Oh,
We knew that Dimwit had promised the instant he became president to roll back everything that Trump had done. This is the standard operating procedure for the American Communist Party. Well, in doing so, they announced that they were going to be stopping all control on the border. This is not an exaggeration. And this was announced to all South America, Central and South America. We are stopping all control of the border. Send them up. We're letting them in. Now, what they're doing is, and you've been hearing a lot of the undocumented, unaccompanied children, immigrants, blah, blah, blah. These are criminals. I don't care. The media is showing, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-olds. That's like a dozen. The rest of them are 12 to 17 years old, some of them as old as 26, and they're calling them children. And unbeknownst to everyone, except those who happen to live in these individual cities, what the federal government does is put a busload of them together and sends them off to different cities. Midland, Texas got hit. They just send them there. And then feds put up a place for them to stay. They get 3 squares a day. They can play soccer all day. They can watch TV all day. Their health is taken care of at our taxpayer expense. But they're not just sending them to Texas. They're sending them to California, San Diego. They're sending them to Oregon. They're sending him to southern Idaho. They're sending him to Michigan. They're sending him to Wisconsin. They're sending him to Florida. The government pulls the same crap with the Muslims. When they bring a bunch of scum in here, like the Somalis, they put him in a bus and just head him up to a city. They tried that here in northern Idaho. And the people found out about it at the last minute and literally stopped the bus and blocked the bus from going any further, and it eventually turned around and went back to whatever hell it came from, which was probably southern Idaho. See, Idaho is not really one state, it's two. Headed north from Boise, once you hit the Nez Perce Reservation, that's Idaho, from there up. From that reservation south, it's an extension of Los Angeles, fully controlled by the government. So they're moving these aliens all over the United States. And Dimwit came right out and he had the gall to say, no. This is just this because I'm president doesn't mean this is why they're all coming here. It's because it's that time of the year, you know, they're not gonna die in the desert. So this is why they're coming here.
This significant surge coming after President Biden ended Donald Trump's so-called Remain in Mexico policy, requiring asylum seekers to wait there for their court proceedings. Since then, many of those tent cities along the Mexican border have emptied out as people start streaming in. We were there when a bus of 56 asylum seekers arrived at Casa Elitas, a Catholic charity shelter in Tucson. Men, pregnant women, and children stepping off the bus with only what they could carry. This father, who asked that we not show his face, traveled to Mexico from Brazil with his wife and 3 young kids before crossing the border.
Would you have tried to do this when Donald Trump was president?
Definitely not. We used to watch the news, and I definitely won't do this.
So did you come here because Joe Biden was elected president?
Basically.
That pretty much puts a frosting on the cake, doesn't it? So now Dimwit's decided to pay for all of this. He's going to raise taxes. And you people should have known this if you didn't. I don't know what's wrong with you. He has major tax increases coming. Now, these are only the ones that they're announcing right now. So right off the bat, he is going to change the corporate tax structure. So it's going to be going up to probably either 28 to 30%. So the way it works for corporations, and they don't name the size of a corporation. They just say corporations. Corporate rate tax is going up to 28%, but they've already talked about no, it needs to be 30%. And they want to impose a global minimum tax on profits from foreign subsidiaries. They're going to tax capital gains as regular income for the wealthy. And they're going to tax unrealized capital gains. So let's say you've got a house you paid. Now, this is just an example, right? Let's say you got a house you paid $100,000 for. And you're just living in it, and you've lived in it for 10 years, and now all of a sudden it's worth $200,000. Well, you got $100,000 capital gains there that they're going to tax you on. So the IRS will send you a bill. They're going to return the top individual rate for those making more than $400,000 to the pre-Trump rate of 40%. So anyone who makes more than $400,000. Now, I can tell you this. I had a corporation in California. This is when I had a firearms company for about 2 years. And during those 2 years, the corporation made over $500,000. Well, unfortunately, I didn't even get about half of that. I mean, I didn't even get that much. So, but the corporation was taxed on that. That's why we decided to no longer be a corporation. But Biden, to do all of this crap that he wants to do, and with the American Communist Party, and this is the ACP, you know, you have the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, well, you have the ACP here in the United States, which they haven't called themselves that yet, but it's called now it's called the Democrat Party, but it's the ACP. They're going to be taxing everybody for everything to pay for all of this stuff that they're going to do, like give everybody a monthly paycheck so that nobody actually has to dirty their hands working. They want a 5% VAT, value-added tax, just like other communist countries have. So on top of all the other taxes, the federal government wants to throw on an extra 5%. So if you come to my yard sale and you buy a dresser for $100, you got to give me $105 so I can give the 5% VAT to the government. And you know, the American communists don't want a voter ID because they don't think voters should have IDs, and besides, the minorities are too stupid to figure out how to get an ID. But they do want a COVID-19 passport. See, they don't want a voter ID, but they want a passport. So Dimwit is going to be working on that. And by the way, he's come up with a great idea for federal judges, because he's firing everything and everyone that Trump put in. He's going to put in some that are more fair, like black Muslims. And this creature comes out of D.C. District Court. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Ketanji Brown Jackson. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, as if I give a damn. She's going to replace Judge Merrick Garland, who is now U.S. Attorney General. These are insane. You cannot have a Muslim judge in the United States because Islam does not allow subjugation to the Constitution of the United States. In other words, any Muslim will judge from her viewpoint as a Muslim, not as an American. But that's what Dimwit wants. They are going to this American Communist Party wants to reshape the whole concept of capitalism in the United States. And when I heard that, I went, wait a minute, how do you reshape capitalism? Capitalism, it's like water. How do you reshape water? You don't. Let me read you the article from The Hill. You'll understand it a lot better. Now, you've heard about the infrastructure bill. This is how Democrats do this. They use a buzzword like safe school bill, meaning no longer can there be guards at schools. Okay, so this infrastructure bill, they're pushing it. It's going to reshape the discussion around capitalism, and it seems to reestablish the federal government as a primary driver of how the economy should grow and function. This is called fascism. It's when the government controls the corporations, which in turn feed the government. In addition to traditional infrastructure projects, which they really didn't name, his $2.25 trillion job plan would make government investments. This is how the government invests in things. They don't invest in things. They give you like 25% of what you need or 50% of what you need. Then they say, now we own you. They're going to invest in broadband, electric vehicles, climate change, elderly care, child benefits, housing, and developing future technologies. It would redefine classic infrastructure projects to include investments in workers and families paid for by tax hikes on corporation. The whole key here is the government is to take over everything that has to do with the income potential in the United States. The Democrats realize that the Republicans can't stand in their way when they want money or when they want to pass anything. They can't stand in their way. The Republicans can't stop them. So they figured, you know what? We did that thing, that little thing, that little bit amount of money. Now we're going to really bump it up. Every corner of the United States is going to be touched some way by this fascism. This whole thing is getting really screwed up. The American Communist Party is creating a fascist government. It's what's going to be interesting to see how this works out. But we have just too many people who are willing to do that. They're willing to see what's going to happen. They're willing to go along with this because they don't have to work. I've talked to two people this past week, both of them very conservative, I thought were very ethical. And both of them said the same thing. Do you know they've extended my unemployment for the third time now? I don't have to try and find a job. As a matter of fact, there's no job out there that'll pay me the amount of money I'm getting from my unemployment with this extended money that the federal government is giving me for free. This is the stupidity. Money from the government comes from my pocket. It comes from people who are paying taxes. It doesn't come from some imagined God that says, poof, let there be money. Well, I guess you could say the Federal Reserve is like that, but that's not how it works. We're in for world of hurt. The category we're going into now, for want of a better term, I'm just calling it racism. And as if you haven't figured it out by now, there is no real racism in the United States that's created by whites. It's all created by blacks. So I don't know. I'm going to have to rename it. I don't know. But regardless, how about this one for racism? The Baltimore City State's Attorney, Marilyn Mosby, remember her? Mosby, whatever the hell her name is. She decided to no longer, and I'm putting this in my own words because other people I have already, she's no longer going to prosecute black crime. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean a black guy committing crime. What it means is that they're no longer going to prosecute for crimes that blacks were known to perform chronically, such as prostitution, drug possession, thievery, violent crimes, property crimes. They're no longer going to prosecute those, especially if it has to do with drugs, because the poor black people were being prosecuted more than the poor white people were. And that's really between people who have any modicum of intelligence. They know that that's because the blacks are committing the crimes, not the white people. And this thing that they're pushing now, anti-Asian hate crimes. Okay, so I've done some research on that. Every single person who's been arrested, every single person who's been videoed, and I mean every single one that has been videoed or arrested or caught or seen committing a so-called Asian hate crime, that means attacking an Asian, has been black. Every single one. California. You know, this morning on the news, I was watching two California parents wanting the place to open up schools. And why not open up schools? Because they're teaching the criminal alien children in person. Why not let the rest of the people get schooling? Well, the Teachers Association is saying this is a sign of white supremacy because only the white people are demanding opening up the schools. Only the white people are. And Oxford University, they've come out and said teaching sheet music is a sign of white supremacy. Sheet music and musical notation. I learned music. I studied the piano for 15 years. I studied the guitar for 20. Sure, there's people out there that can play just by ear. But to learn and become a professional, you need to be able to read music. No, that's a sign of white supremacy. And in California, two different areas, Marin County and Oakland, have decided to have basic income programs. And of course, they're only for black people. No white people need apply. This is a basic income pilot program. And they're doing this all throughout the San Francisco Bay Area. But it's only for blacks. Whites are not going to get any. Chicago's doing the same thing. A little bit different. Chicago's not hiding the idea that they're going to pay reparations. This is real. We're going to pay reparations to all the black residents. And it's going to be a national model. Where's all that money coming from? Maybe I was wrong in the beginning because there is white racism. Like the governor of Vermont. The governor of Vermont, he's a white guy. And he decided to open up the availability of COVID vaccines, but only for those who are black. White people need not apply. Only the blacks. Now, I guess that is white racism there. Let's see. What else do we have on this massive list? Oh, the Navy. The woke Navy. The pussified Navy. They have extremism training. And in this extremism training, it basically breaks down to white bad, black good. They don't like you to advertise things politically at work when you're on duty. But Black Lives Matter apparently isn't political. So anybody who wants to can talk about Black Lives Matter, can wear Black Lives Matter shirts and hats and coats and all of this crap. But don't you dare wear anything that says Republican or Trump, because that's extremism. Well, BLM isn't. Now, here's something that's... I talked about this guy before. He calls himself Grandmaster Jay. He is an avowed racist. He hates white people. And I recognize this kind of person because I saw the founding of the Black Panthers. He is the exact same way. He is creating a divide in the United States that will get a lot of people killed. He's convincing blacks that whites are going to attack them and try and subjugate them, make them slaves again, take whatever they own away from them. So he's convincing them to get guns, train to shoot them, be willing to die for your race. I've got a whole article on this guy here that you can read and you'll understand what I'm talking about. The country of Ghana in Africa came out and said, we will pay to send all of the African Americans back to Africa. We're inviting you to come. We will pay for your route here. So right now in the United States, 13.3% of the U.S. population are black. So there's an article that was written, and it said, what if the blacks went back to Africa? The amount of people in poverty would drop 34%. The prison population would go down by 37%. Welfare recipients would drop 42%. Gang members would go down 53%. Chlamydia cases, sexually transmitted disease, would go down 54%. Homelessness go down 57%. Syphilis would go down 58%. AIDS and HIV would go down 65%. Gonorrhea down 69%. Average IQ would go up 7.4 points. The average income for Americans would go up over $20,000 a year. Democrats would lose a massive piece of their voting base. And many criminal defense attorneys would have to find another line of work. And then that proves that black lives do matter. And there's a link there to the actual invitation from Ghana. See, this stuff, when a communist listens to this, what I'm saying, instantly I'm a racist. Not the fact that all of this can be proven and all of this is real. No, that has nothing to do with it. I'm a racist because I dare to say anything against this division that the American Communist Party has created. The Democrats have always been racist. I've been looking for this. I have a clip right here I'm going to play. I've been looking for this clip now for about 5 years, and I just found it.
Once I disclosed that I was Republican and the paper picked it up is when I started receiving hate mail from Democrats and people that told me that I was a sellout and that it was the tradition of black people to be Democrat. Up until that time, I didn't really think much about it.
The Republican Party has either not told a story well or a story has been hidden and contained by the liberal media. There would be no Voting Rights Act if it hadn't been for Republican Senate and House members. They would not be the legislation we have today. It was Republicans who stood up for that stuff. The Democrats were the racists back in those days. It was a Democratic South, and those Democratic governors were the racists. But again, you know, history has been kind of rewritten.
The Republican Party in Texas was started on the 4th of July, 1867, in Houston, Texas, by 150 blacks and 20 whites. It was that way across the South. The Republican parties were started in the South by African Americans. In the state of Texas, two of our first three statewide Republican chairmen were African American. The first 42 black legislators elected in Texas were all Republican. The first 112 black legislators elected in Mississippi were all Republican. The first 190 black legislators elected in South Carolina were all Republican. The first 41 in Georgia, the first 127 in Louisiana. So now you've got all these African Americans really stepping up and starting to gain political standing, political power. Now, You have Democrats on the other side who have been very racist. It's in their platforms. They support the Dred Scott decision. They think the fugitive slave law is great. They started a nation to keep slavery alive. Very racist. And so now they're facing a situation where that these blacks are now their rulers, are now in office, are now U.S. senators, are now U.S. How do you stop that? 1866, Democrats themselves started the Ku Klux Klan. Its purpose was not to kill blacks. Its purpose was to take control and return Democrats to power. Their stated purpose in the KKK was to stop Republicans and restore Democratic control. Now, if you're looking for a Republican that you want to take care of, you can wipe out any black you want because they're 100% Republicans at that point in time. You can't wipe out any white. I mean, some whites might be Democrats. You got to be a little more judicious when you're wiping out whites. So what happens is the Ku Klux Klan starts attacking, not blacks, Republican conventions. For example, in New Orleans, in the Republican convention in Louisiana, the Klan joined with the New Orleans police, joined with the New Orleans mayor, Democrats. They attacked physically at the convention in New Orleans, Republican convention. They killed 40 blacks, killed 20 whites. They wounded 150 others. 1868, they put out a push card in South Carolina, and it listed what they called the radical members of the South Carolina legislature. That push card's about the size of a baseball card. It was put up by the Klan. Klan put it out. It had the pictures of 63 legislators that needed to be wiped out in South Carolina. 50 of those legislators were black, 13 were white. Now, they were all 63 Republican. On the back of the card, it gave you the name of each legislator so you'd know who you're trying to kill. Congress starts these hearings in this group called the Klan. And they have hearings, and so they bring in Democrat leaders that under oath from these Democrat states said, yes, the Klan belongs to our party. It's actually in Congress. 1872, the hearings, it's a 13-volume set of hearings in Congress. Unequivocally, Democrats say the Klan is ours and belongs to us. It's there to restore Democrat control in the southern states. Those guys who lived through it made it very clear. For example, one of the early black congressmen was John Roy Lynch. Another early black congressman was Richard Kane. And they're having to fight the Klan physically for their own safety. They go armed to Congress because of the Klan attacks. These guys said, if we as blacks would simply stop voting the Republican ticket, if we would agree to vote the straight Democrat ticket, all the violence against us would be stopped.
In 1964, incidentally, a year that three of our civil rights workers were killed in Mississippi registering blacks to vote, was also the year that civil rights legislation, historic civil rights legislation, was being promoted, and President Johnson wanted to sign it, but nevertheless it was held up, bottled up in the United States Senate by Southern Democrats. And one Democrat in particular who was the last individual to try to obstruct this legislation was a guy named Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia, who for 14 hours and 13 minutes held a filibuster against this civil rights legislation.
Senator Robert Byrd used the nigger word three times on a national televised TV show. No outcry at all. Nobody said a thing, at least from the Democrat. No, the Black Caucus didn't say anything, the NAACP, no outcry.
There's no price to pay when you're on the left and you make intemperate racial remarks. There's no price to pay. We say, well, it's just we're making much to do about nothing.
They wanted to destroy Trent Lott. I mean, they went after him on BET, and this man had to eventually apologize. But nothing from Senator Robert Byrd.
Hypocrisy of liberals and media around how they reacted to Dodd's praise of Byrd on the Senate floor, and the reaction of Trent Lott praising an old man that was going to be dead within a year. Contrast that with the absolute silence of the liberal media around Bob Byrd being praised. I mean, a Klansman, a Klan leader, not just a member of the Klan, not just influenced by the Klan, but a operational leader of the Klan.
One of the things that has mystified me most over the last few years is to look at the civil rights establishment and have them regard the news of Colin Powell becoming America's first black Secretary of State, Condi Rice becoming America's second black national security advisor, and not hear some of them say, look, we have differences in opinion over their policies, we don't necessarily approve of everything they believe in, but this is a great step forward for Americans and black Americans in particular. What you hear instead is that, well, they're tokens, and maybe they're wannabe whites, and you know, these awful cartoons, political cartoons that were done after Condi Rice was named Secretary of State, where she was sitting on a porch, barefoot, looking like some kind of a welfare queen or something like that, speaking in jive. Yet another one where she was a parrot sitting on George Bush's shoulder with big fat lips. I mean, just the most awful, hideous racial stereotypes, anti-black stereotypes, being hurled in the face of a very, very intelligent woman who was at Stanford University provost, speaks Russian, very accomplished woman from...
tendency to ascribe positive things to whiteness and negative things to blackness. So the kid who goes to the library, who plays the piano, the classics, who studies, is acting white.
What it says, basically, the people who argue that way, is that we black people don't have control over our own minds. We're not allowed to think what we wish, and we're essentially supposed to walk around in a racial plantation where everybody's liberal, everyone believes in the Democratic Party, and in that respect, we're not really men and women, but sort of like cattle. And so then they think, well, do I want to let my race down by acting white? Do I want to betray my people by acting white? And they say, well, I guess not. I guess I'll act black and come to school unprepared, not participate, not speak in proper English, talk jive. And what happens? You see a young black child's mind close up like that, and the kid's scores go down. And what have you done? You've ruined an American citizen for life.
As a child, I remember watching TV. See, at that time, we had three stations, ABC, NBC, and CBS. I remember watching on TV how a governor was saying he didn't want black people in any university, in any school where white people are. Different presidents saying various racist things. And I remember a talk one time by this creature that we now have as president. And here's a few of the things that Biden has said. What you're going to hear is exactly how Democrats feel about blacks.
We already have a nigger mayor. We don't need any more nigger big shots.
We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Democrats are the ones that put the blacks on the plantations hundreds of years ago. They're the ones that put the blacks on the concrete plantations in the 1900s. And they're the ones that keep them ignorant, keep them stupid. You know, I tell you something. This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Blacks want to be equal, yet they're doing everything in their power to piss everyone off. It doesn't work that way. You want to be equal, you act equal. If somebody doesn't treat you equal, tell them that. You know, if somebody gave me a bunch of crap because I was white, I'd tell them not to do it. I mean, it's a very simple process. I don't need to get all uppity about it. I just simply say, you know what? You don't need to talk like that to me. I have just as much right to be here as you do. Now, if you got somebody that lives in the gutter, sells drugs, whose girlfriend has 8 children because she gets a hell of a lot of welfare that way, I'm sorry, you're not equal to me in any way, shape, or form. But the Democrats have been keeping the blacks on the concrete plantation now for, 100 years. And they're making it worse now. They actually want them to start a civil war. Something happened this week. You might have heard about it. Some black guy ran his car into 2 police, crushed them against a barricade in Washington, D.C., right at the state capitol, or at the federal capitol. And, of course, MSNBC instantaneously said, oh, look at that white guy. The white guy did that. And then he jumps out with a knife and goes to attack him, and then he gets shot and killed. Well, it turned out this guy was a member of the Nation of Islam. I have history with them on a personal basis. And I'm going to play a part of a show that I did 10 years ago on the Nation of Islam. Nothing has changed except they've gotten more and more insane. And everything you're going to hear from me is real. And you can back it up because I'll have the links there that you can go to their website and read for yourself this psychosis of racism. The Nation of Islam, NOI, is the largest racist organization on earth. They literally pray for the death of all white people. All right, first I'm going to play a different clip. You remember I mentioned Grandmaster Jay and the black militia because they need to protect themselves from us white guys. There was another guy who sounded exactly the same. He got into Nation of Islam in the beginning, and they kicked him out because he was a little too radical. So what he did was help start the Black Panther Party. His name is Khalid Muhammad, and this Grandmaster Jay reminds me of him.
I found that no matter where I went in the world, I found that no matter what the social, political, religious, economic, academic system was, it made no difference. Wherever the black-white dynamic existed, you'll find the white on top, the black on the bottom. I've been to capitalist countries as we are victims of white capitalism, and wherever the black-white dynamic exists, you find the white capitalist on top and the black capitalist on the bottom. If it's a socialist country, you find the white socialist on top and the black socialist on the bottom. If it's a communist country, you find the white communist on top and the black communist on the bottom. If it's a Christian country, you find the white Christian on top and the black Christian on the bottom. If it's a so-called Jew country, you find the white Jew on top and the black Jew on the bottom. Yes, I've been to Mecca, and where the black-white dynamic exists, you find a white Muslim on top, and God damn it, you find a black Muslim on the bottom. It makes no difference what the system is. Wherever the black-white dynamic exists, you find the black on the bottom and the white on top. Some of you say it's a class system. If it's a class system, then you will find a white man as the upper class, and you will find the black man and woman as the lower class. No, I didn't find what my spiritual big brother Malcolm found in Mecca. I found racism in Mecca, and I've found it everywhere I've gone throughout the face of the planet Earth. I said, we give them 24 hours in South Africa to get out of town by sundown. I say, if they don't get out of town, we kill the men, we kill the women, we kill the children, we kill the babies, we kill the blind, we kill the cripple, we kill the crazy, we kill the faggots, we kill the lesbians. I said, God damn it, we kill them all. He said, well, why kill them all? Why kill the women? First, why kill the babies? They're just little innocent blue-eyed babies. Because, God damn it, they're going to grow up one day to rule your babies. Kill them now. Why kill the women in South Africa? I said, kill the women because the women are the military manufacturing center. And every 9 months, they lay down on their backs and reinforcement rolls out from between their legs. So shut down the military manufacturing center by killing the white woman. Why kill the elder crackers? The old crepit crackers in South Africa. How in the hell you think they got old? They got old oppressing and killing black people. Kill them all. Kill a faggot. Kill a lesbian. And after you kill them all, I say, then you go to the goddamn grave and dig them up and kill them a goddamn again. Because they didn't die hard enough. You don't have the strength to dig them up after you've done all that work. Just go to the grave and shoot in the damn grave. Kill them again. Because they didn't die hard enough.
Because the blacks weren't indigenous to America, they didn't have a long family history here. They didn't have familiarity with the American political landscape, the banking system, the Constitution, and how to make the system work for them. All they knew was how to work hard, and that's what they did. Most never attended school. It was there for them, but they didn't know that. And because of that one fact, most blacks in the early 20th century were illiterate, superstitious, and gullible, and they fell for any scam that came their way. 1928, traveling salesman by the name of William Fard. He went door to door in Detroit. He sold trinkets and clothes and accessories, and he only sold to blacks. And he told them that this stuff I'm selling here, this is what your ancestors used to wear. He was a really good talker. Now, I'm synopsizing this, believe me. a whole bunch. He talked really well, and he soon had a following. He was an avowed racist, claiming that all blacks' problems on the complete earth were because of the white devils. He created something called the Temple of Islam. It wasn't really Islam. It was some perverted form of Islam. And because of that, they were all called black Muslims. Fard was considered the ruler of the universe. Now, he created a school of mathematics, a school for females to teach him home economics. He created a military branch called Fruit of Islam, FOI, who were taught firearms and basics. And he told his followers that the day would come when the white devils would try and take us down. One of Fard's early disciples, Elijah Poole, was given the Muslim name Elijah Muhammad and was named as the chief minister of Islam. Strangely enough, 4 years later, W.D. Fard completely and mysteriously disappeared. Now I'm going to skip the rest of this, all right? But if you go to armchairsurvivalist.com and scroll down, you will see a link to this organization, which has now taken the name of Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam is where these poverty pimps come from. These guys, these are disgusting creatures. I've met them each in an informal manner, and they make my skin crawl. They're rich beyond belief. I don't think their underwear is worth less than $1,000. We're talking Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton. There's a dozen different other names there, but I'm not going to waste my time with it. The Nation of Islam now, this day, of their philosophy. They have what they call is called their wants and their beliefs. What they want. Number one, we want freedom. We want a full and complete freedom. Number two, there's nothing wrong with that. Number two, we want justice. Equal justice under the law. See, the problem is they have a misunderstanding of the word equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color. When you hear that, you go, yeah, that's right. That's good. Number three, we want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. Now, wait a minute. If you want equality of opportunity, well, you've got to earn it just like I did. Number four, and this is when it starts to go off the deep end. We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to supply our own needs. Since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality after giving them 400 years of our sweat and blood, and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. Do you have any wonder yet why they are under the category of enemies of America? Number five, we want freedom for all believers of Islam now held in federal prison. We want freedom. What about the guy that murdered four women and then raped them? They want him free. We want freedom for all black men and women now under death sentence in innumerable prisons in the North as well as the South. We want every black man and woman to have the freedom to accept or reject being separated from the slave master's children and establish a land of their own. We know that the above plan for the solution of the black and white conflict is the best and only answer to the problem between two people. Now, understand me, this is real. These are real people. They affect you. Jackson, Farrakhan, these people cause things that affect you. Number seven, as long as we're not allowed to establish a state or territory of our own, we demand not only equal justice under the laws of the United States, but equal employment opportunities now. Number eight, we want the government of the United States to exempt our people from all taxation. Number nine, and they just sort of like invalidated the first sentence by the second sentence. We want equal education, but separate schools for boys and girls. We want all black children educated, taught, and trained by their own teachers. We believe we'd make a better nation of people if we taught them ourselves. Muslim teachers shall be left free to teach and train their people in the way of righteousness, decency, and self-respect. Number 10, we believe that intermarriage or race mixing should be prohibited. We want the religion of Islam taught without hindrance or suppression. Okay, that's what they want. Now, this is what they believe. We believe in the one God whose proper name is Allah. Number two, we believe in the Holy Quran and in the scriptures of all the prophets of God. Number three, we believe in the truth of the Bible, but we believe that it has been tampered with and must be reinterpreted so that mankind will not be snared by the falsehoods that have been added to it. Number four, we believe in all his prophets and the scriptures they brought to the people. And number five gets a little foggy. We believe in a resurrection of the dead, not in physical resurrection, but in mental resurrection. We believe that the so-called Negroes are most in need of mental resurrection. Therefore, they will be resurrected first. Furthermore, we believe we are the people of God's choice, as it has been written that God would choose the rejected and the despised. We can find no other persons fitting this description in these last days more than the so-called Negroes in America. Number six, we believe in the judgment. We believe this first judgment will take place as God revealed in America. It just goes on and on and on, and it gets more and more insane as I read it. Oh, by the way, W.D. Fard, their founder, was God. No, he was God. He was Allah. He was a physical man that came down and started this whole thing, and he was God. Blacks were the original race on Earth. Blacks are gods, but they're dominated by the evil white devils. 6,600 years ago, a black scientist created the brown race, and then he was screwing around and created the red race, then screwed around a little more and created the yellow race, then the white race, and that took him about 600 years. White people are devils. They're pure evil and not human and have no soul. Christianity is the white man's religion and not acceptable for blacks. Since we live in a material world, God is material and not a spirit. According to the Nation of Islam, Jesus is a product of an adulterous affair between Mary and Joseph, and all those who don't reject Christianity and accept Islam will go to hell. I'm not done yet. The Bible and the Quran are both tampered with and perverted and not completely reliable. When a person dies, well, that's it. There, you have no soul. And this is the good part. There's a spaceship circling the Earth about 40 miles up called the Mother Plane. Sooner or later, it will release 1,500 small flying saucer-like airplanes that have special nuclear bombs. And these bombs will create a fire that will last for several months and burn all whites on the planet to death. That's how they get back at us. So here's an openly racist organization. It promotes hatred of whites. Not just don't like them, but hatred. And yet it is affiliated with this government. The majority of Democrats work with them. They have funding from government sources. You know, I don't care what any man believes in, but this is just a load of crap. Anybody with any education, and here's the key, education. Anyone with any education would blow this off and say, this is just crap. But this is an example of how blacks are being kept ignorant and separate from the rest of America by the poverty pimps. Racism against whites has not only become more and more open, but actually being condoned. The problems between black and white are going to continue as long as blacks are taught that it's all whitey's fault. These things I'm going to tell you right now, these are real. Blacks are told that if you want a good education, you're just being an Uncle Tom. Selling drugs and being a gang member is a natural way of life. Having sex out of wedlock, even for children, is fine. You don't have to work because the welfare check comes every Mother's Day. That's 1st and 15th. And the reason you're the way you are is not your fault. And there's nothing you can do to change it. That's just the way of life. These attitudes are taught by the Democrats to blacks and blacks to blacks. And nothing is going to change in America for the blacks as long as they look to the poverty pimps for their salvation. They're going to go nowhere fast. It's a matter of choice. You know, it's a sad thing, but we have four major races in the United States. We have whites, we have blacks, we have Mexican or Hispanic, and then we have Asians. Do you know why I'm not going to even talk about the Asians? Because I don't need to. I would say 95% of them come here legally. 95% of them bust their butts to go through schooling to enable themselves to have an economic step up. So I don't even need to talk about them. So now we have whites. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to be white. You're not allowed to have a race because the white race is basically evil. You're not allowed to have a voice because you're just racist anyway. You're not allowed to be proud of your accomplishments because any gain must have come by you stepping on a minority's back. You're not allowed to be Christian, a male, a business owner, a father, or a leader, because you're white. You're not allowed to have any holidays that celebrate white people. You're not allowed to have a country. It belongs to everyone else as long as they're not white. And you're not allowed to stand up to racism because only a white man can be a racist. See, we got a problem in the white race here in the United States. And again, it breaks down right directly to ignorance. There's no magic to this, ladies and gentlemen. It's not some magical computation. It's not some secret pill. It's called educate yourself. So you know the difference between right and wrong. My grandpa used to have a saying, that man is so stupid he couldn't pour pee out of a boot with the instructions on a heel. Well, that's probably because the guy couldn't read the instructions. America was founded and built, and we fought for our freedom from an oppressive government on the backs of the white people of America. I'm not discounting any other races that were in here. And like all races in all countries on this planet, the white race has both its shining moments and its shameful moments. I could talk for hours and hours and hours of the insulting, degrading, destructive, evil things that whites have performed. But for over 50 years, there's been a planned and orchestrated destruction of the morals, integrity, beliefs, and personality of the whites in America. See, first off, We're not supposed to have whites. We're not supposed to have blacks. If somebody comes up to me and says, I'm African-American or I'm a Mexican-American, I will look at them and say, what part of Africa did you come from? Oh, are you African or are you an American? Make up your mind. Our children are taught in school that being white is bad. To be accepted by other people on the school grounds, they got to start emulating and acting out some of the most disgusting manners I won't even allow in my presence. Hats turned sideways, pants down around their butts, slurring words, speaking gutter slang, flapping hand signs and dramatic physical expression when speaking, joining gangs, committing crimes, tattoos, all of this crap. White children have been taught and physically, and I've heard this and I've read this and I've seen this in schools. They should have no pride in themselves because they're white. They have been so demoralized, they have so little respect for themselves, that committing crimes like robbery, rape, and murder are easily justified. When I was opening my gun store in Modesto, California, I wasn't even open yet. We're still doing constructions inside. Woman comes in and talks to us about something or other, and she leaves, and my mom goes, that bitch just stole those channel lock pliers. I go, what? She just stole those pliers. I just stood there. My mother took off running after her, chasing her down the street. So I'm like, oh God, mom's going to get in trouble. So I went chasing her down, and she come up to the woman, and she grabbed those pliers and took them out of her hands and said, what do you think you're doing stealing from us? The woman said, you won't miss them, you're rich. This is what's happening. The whites are beat on in the newspapers and the so-called churches. You listen to what the abominations preachers say on TV by our politicians. I mean, all the way up Barack Hussein and his wife. We're told daily how racist we are, how evil whites are, and how we don't deserve what we have. But that's only because we're white, and whites are racist. And here's the worst part. Too many whites believe that crap. I was just walking down Hollywood Boulevard a few years ago. Well, maybe, okay, 30 years ago. And these two black guys dressed up in African garb. I just saw them out of the corner of my eye, and one of them walks up to me. He starts screaming at me how I'm a racist and how I just want to keep the black man down. And what the hell are you talking about? I don't know who you are. I never seen you. Well, he was a member of Nation of Islam is what he was. But that's how it is in America. You're guilty because you're white. Instead of fighting back, the whites just take the racist crap and they say, well, how many butts do we have to kiss so you like us? Instead of standing up to these acts, these destructive acts that are done against whites and white institutions, what is a white institution? Anything that has to do with America, that's a white institution. The NRA is a white institution. The Tea Party is a white institution. Instead of standing up, they whine and say, well, okay, whatever you want, because we just want to be fair. And instead of refusing to obey anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-white, anti-family, anti-constitutional laws, regulations, and rules, whites just creep off into blogger land and complain to each other about how bad it is. Instead of demanding respect, consideration, competence, integrity, and ethical behavior in our children, we choose to be tolerant and let our children find themselves and have their space. That's how we have been diffused into a scared nation, afraid to even catch the eye of a black man or Mexican across the room. And all of this is crap. It's pure crap. This race divide is part of the plan, guys and girls. United we stand, divided we fall. Right? You ever hear that before? We are more powerful than the powers that be want us to know. This nation has been purposely divided by race. You know what happens if a white man, a black man, a Mexican, and an Asian that all have English or American passports, you know what they're called when they go to England? They're called Americans. They're not called black American or anything. Out of the mouth of Democrats, they say the same thing. It's like take your lip, your mouth, and you squeeze in the middle of your lip, okay? Just like this. And then you talk on the left-hand side, and then you talk on the right-hand side. And that's what they do. On the left-hand side, they say, the minorities need equality. You need to stop treating them as separate. And then on the right-hand side, they say, African-American, Mexican-American, Chinese-American, Italian-American. They put in segregation. You're either American or you're not. And that's as simple as it is. Sure, there's racist blacks, racist Mexicans, racist whites, racist everything. But that's their choice. See, that's the key. Education gives you the choice. When you're ignorant, you'll fall for anything. And man chooses to be ignorant. You have to choose to be educated. Just because you go to the public school system doesn't mean you're educated. That's a social institution and a propaganda institution. That's all it is. Every man makes a choice of how they'll believe and how they'll act in any given situations. Many blacks choose to exhibit the lowest level of integrity they can. Yet, I know many that don't. I know many that have pulled themselves out of the ghetto. I mean both physically and mentally, because you've heard the saying, you can take a man out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the man. And they have educated themselves, and they have a good job and a good family. The same with Mexicans. The same with whites. It all depends. Many Mexicans choose to be criminals in America. You know, it's standard. It's just like, that's fine. They choose to do that. But many choose the honorable path of becoming an American in spite of the BS our government makes them go through. And too many whites choose to be nothing more than trailer trash. They choose to be nothing but as illiterate as possible and to take the path of least resistance. Too damn many. I have met so many whites that say, I'm proud. I'm proud of my heritage. What heritage you got? You're an idiot. There is no heritage for idiots. The key here is to judge each person by their actions, not by their words, not by the shape of their nose, the color of their skin, or how much money they have. This race thing is a choice we all have to make. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the people who have made the wrong choice. They sound like idiots, they dress like idiots, they act like idiots, and they're destructive to everyone and everything around them, including themselves. Oh, and a real key, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever want to know the secret to know who is a poverty pimp, whenever they speak and you hear the words, for my people, come out of their mouth, they are racists and they're cashing in on other racists. For 25 years, I was a master gunsmith. There's a yellow sheet you fill out, 4473 form. And they want to know your name, your address, driver's license number, and then have a little box. Which, by the way, as an employer, if I was to ask you this question, I could be fined by the federal government. But, of course, the federal government, being racist, can ask this question. And in this box, it says race. Now, why would they want their race? Because the government is racist. They want to know how many blacks are buying guns, how many Mexicans are buying guns, how many Asians are buying guns, how many whites are buying guns. So for 25 years, before the person could mark whatever he thought his race was, I would mark human in it. See, I'm very particular. I'm racist myself. I wouldn't sell to any race but human. Education is the key. An educated man or woman is harder to fool with phony statistics because they can find the truth out for themselves. And you can hear this all the time. I heard Farrakhan one time in a speech say, you know, 80% of all whites are racist. An educated man or woman knows that each of them is responsible for their actions. An educated man or woman can't be played as easily as an ignorant person. An educated man or woman won't put up with the obvious lies, cheating, and deception. Ask my son what happens when someone tries to cheat me or lie to me. I'd call him on it right then and there. I'm sorry, I don't turn the other cheek. Unfortunately, the public school system, education under that is just a byproduct. Our corporate representatives want us as stupid as possible. Blacks are not the enemy. Mexicans aren't the enemies. Whites aren't the enemies. Lack of education is the enemy. It sounds really ludicrous for me to say this, but the activities of the Democrats is also the enemy of America. For somebody to do what they have done to a race, and then for that race to continue to put them back in power, is ludicrous.
Now, that's what I did 10 years ago. And as I said, it's gone nowhere but downhill from there. They have gained support from the federal government, state governments, tribal governments, many churches. And the head of Nation of Islam right now is Farrakhan. Used to be called Calypso Louie. There's a lot of stories behind that. There's a lot of stories of Malcolm X and murder. And there's so much it's ridiculous. But I can tell you this. Listen to Farrakhan speak.
Now you preachers and leaders, you administrators, you teachers, you leaders, you are the worst. Because you have bought into the enemy and you want to lead your people not to God, not to Jesus, but you want to lead them into the path of their open enemy that God has come to separate them from. No cowardly, punctified leader will lead this new generation of young black men and women. Your day of leading them is finished. Parents, you can't feel when you're talking to your children that this is a new generation and they don't want to hear your compromising talk. But time has moved on. And what was good yesterday ain't no good at all today. So either you become a new vessel so that new wine can be poured into the old wineskin. Or your day of leading our people is over, and it will never come back to you again. And you preachers, your day of being the pacifier for the white man's tyranny on black people, you got to know they're not gonna hear you anymore. But they know an explosion is going to come. They know it.
See, these people aren't really sure what they are. They're not sure if they're Christians. They're not sure if they're Muslims. Muslims don't want them. Christians don't want them because they're not either of that. They have something every year called Savior's Day. This is where whoever's leading the Nation of Islam gets up and speaks and says how bad white people are and how great the black race is and all of this stuff. It'll drive you crazy, but you know, there's a link to the website. So if you feel like finding out exactly how these creatures think, you go right ahead. You know, it's funny, when I first got on the radio, I started on GCN on the internet, and that was, I don't remember, years ago. My first show, apparently, I was on right after some black guy who was a racist, who a lot of black people listened to at the time. I don't even remember his name. He comes on, and then right after, as soon as he's done, I'm on. And it was a talk show, right? So first off, as soon as I introduced myself, I got a call. The engineer says, "Hey, Kurt, you got a call." So, okay, so I took the call. And this guy comes on, it's a black guy, and he says, "I don't understand, why do you think that the white people are so much against Jesse Jackson and the rest of our black leaders?" And without missing a beat, I said, "Well, because they're nothing more than poverty pimps. They make their living off of you. They make the living telling everyone how dumb you people are, how you can't get jobs, how you need to have an income. They make their living by convincing government agencies that they need to give millions of dollars to the poor, dumb black people." And I just explained the whole concept of poverty pimp. I just happened to have a good definition of what a poverty pimp was at the time. So I talked for about 15 minutes. It blew this guy's mind. And after the show, the engineer notifies me and he goes, "You know, Kurt, that guy has always called every single show for this other guy. I don't think he's ever going to call back again." Now, you pay attention to what you just heard. Pay attention to all the things you heard. Those of you who aren't racist, I can guarantee you, you're going to start leaning that way per their definition. There are things happening that this is getting worse and worse. This is not lightweight. There was a carjacking. I'm just going to talk a little bit about this. There was a carjacking a few weeks ago. Two black girls, 13 and 15. This guy was an Uber driver, Jewish guy, in his mid-30s. They jumped in his car. He was just getting in, and he's halfway out the car, hanging on the edge, still inside the car, but the door open, and they carjacked him, and they took off. And they purposely hit other cars to slam the door on him and kill him. With intention, they did this. So two black girls, 13 and 15, murdered this Jewish guy to steal his car. This isn't the first time they've stole cars or carjacked. The information was just broke that they're going to be, in a plea deal, they're going to be getting probation. This is happening all over the United States. These are scum, and they happen to be black. There are scum whites out there and scum Mexicans. These just happen to be black, and it's being shown more and more and more. Media's picking it up, and alternative media's picking it up. I don't agree with agendas. So you have a media that hates whites, so they do everything they can in their power, and they pick up news articles that specialize in making whites look bad. And there's other news companies that specialize in making blacks look bad. I don't agree with any of that. But I can tell you that blacks nationwide and generally fit in what they call the 65% category. 65% come from single-parent families. 65% have a felony record. 65% do drugs. 65%, you know, you get where I'm going with this? And it's not okay. It's because they haven't got their footing yet. I'm talking about the black race in America. They have not got their footing yet. They still are being held up by the American Communist Party. They're still being held up by the media. If you let them fall, for crying out loud, they'll figure out how to get up on their own feet. But they're being lied to, and we're being propagandized. And where this goes is civil war. This is the way it has happened in every nation on earth that has been taken over by the communists. They vilify one of the people, one of the races, one of the types of people that live in that country, and then they turn everybody loose against them. It's a little different in the United States because there's a lot of guns here. I think that, what do we got, a population of 350 million, and it's probably four guns per person in this population. I don't know. Anyway, I'm out of here. Keep your nose in the air, your ear to the ground, and understand this one final thought. Schumer's coming, and it's not going to be slow. It's going to hit fast. You're going to see stuff happen instead of weeks and months. You're going to hear it and see it happening in days, and you're going to be shocked and awed because it happened so quick. Pay attention to what's going on. This is the Armchair Survivalist signing off.